We're a small crew tonight. Good evening. We have jumped around Proverbs thematically for the last number of weeks. In our last two Sunday evenings of this year and the last two Sunday evenings that we're going to be in Proverbs, we're going to be looking at the final chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, which is particularly well known for the second half of it, where we have the alphabet, a poem essentially, of wifely excellence, which we will talk about next week. But more neglected than that is the first half of the chapter, which is an oracle or a saying, a proverb of King Lemuel, which was taught to him by his mother. So we are going to read that one first. We're going to look at Proverbs 31 this evening and the first nine verses. Proverbs 31, the first nine verses. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us from your word, and perhaps teach us what we ought to look for in those who desire to exercise authority and those who desire to rule over us. Help us to think what a wise ruler might look like. And so, Holy Spirit, open our minds to learn, to see clearly what it is that you speak to us here this evening. Teach us so that we might learn and grow, but also open up our hearts to receive this word gladly and to love the one who is the perfectly wise and godly ruler of his people, the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I have found this, and I find this to be a particularly useful and helpful proverb for us. It describes a good ruler of a nation unconcerned with the worship of the Lord. It gives us an oracle, a proverb of King Lemuel, a name that you will not find in any of the genealogies of the kings of either Judah or Israel. And it was taught to him by his mother. And again, neither of these are found mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament. And Lemuel was not a king of either Judah or Israel. So what we have is an oracle, a saying, a proverb, likely from a neighboring nation that has been adopted by the Israelites because it is true and because it accords with what Proverbs says elsewhere about what a good king is supposed to be and supposed to do. And so what we have is a description of what godly rule looks like, even if we're not talking about the worship of the one true God. We live in a nation that is very different from the Israel of the Old Testament, different in a few good ways, but also different in many bad ways as well. The king of Israel was meant to rule as God's king over God's people. Jesus is God's king over God's people now, and our Canadian government is charged simply with the good governance and protection of the Canadian people. So the proverbial words of a foreign king, apparently unconcerned with the proper worship, at least of the living God, is actually very instructive for us as we think through what ought our rulers be like. And there are sort of three basic things that we can see from this proverb. It's certainly not an exhaustive list, and there are other places in Proverbs that speak about what a good king ought to be like. We have Romans 13 in the New Testament that speaks about the need of the government to protect its citizens and to punish the evildoer. So this is not exhaustive. But what we have, I think, is a very helpful proverb for considering what a just ruler ought to look like. And so the Proverbs begins with King Lemuel's mother speaking to him. It's a proverb that he learned from his mother. And she says, "What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?" And then she begins with the need for self-control in verses 3 through 5. The need for self-control. "Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all of the afflicted." This is maybe the most laughable of the Proverbs in this section. Not laughable because it's silly, it's not, it's actually very serious. But laughable because self-control does not seem to be the order of the day for very many politicians in our current climate. But this proverb sees the role of the king or of the ruler to exercise self-control so as not to cloud his judgment or distract his attention in attending to the business of the nation. He foregoes at least a couple of things that he could otherwise very easily attain because they would be a distraction and because they would impede his ability to govern his nation well. He foregoes many women. She says, "Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings." It was very common for kings to take harems for themselves. And even King Solomon, and we'll come back to this in just a few minutes, even King Solomon, who himself authored a number of the Proverbs that we read throughout Proverbs, a man known for his wisdom, took something like 700 wives and 300 concubines. It might be a little bit of an exaggeration. It probably wasn't 1,000 exactly right on. But this huge number of wives and women and concubines especially that are there essentially simply for his own physical gratification and for nothing else. Not only was this opposed to the purpose of marriage, but Lemuel says even beyond that, it's unwise. It's unwise. It's an indulgence that will distract from the need to govern. And just as an aside on this point, I'll mention this. I know I've said this before. I'll say it again. It is important for anyone who wishes to be wise to be open to hearing truth, criticism, correction, rebuke, wherever it comes from. This warning comes from Lemuel, who is likely a foreign king. And this is important to note, this isn't coming from the portions of Proverbs attributed to King Solomon, who we mentioned already was guilty of this very thing. It took the words of an outsider to correct that wrong. Had they ever met, Solomon would have done well to heed Lemuel's warning. We must take care not to immunize ourselves against hearing correction from unlikely sources, right? We hear a criticism or a correction from someone and we respond, you know, "Oh, he's not a Christian, or, he commits sin X, Y, or Z. I don't need to listen to people like that. But if the Hebrews will adopt the sayings of Lemuel, we must be willing to listen for wisdom anywhere. And what Lemuel says here is very true. So the good ruler exercises self-control. He foregoes many women, but he goes on and he says he foregoes much drink. He foregoes much drink. Just as the king foregoes many wives, he also foregoes strong drink in case he should judge a case and have his judgment clouded because he's in an impaired state. He exercises self-control when around strong drink so as to maintain his ability to judge with a clear mind. In short, essentially what's being said here is that a godly ruler, a wise ruler, does not use his authority to feed his own desires or to promote his own vices. He doesn't possess power because it will be good for his reputation or because it will stroke his ego or because he needs to be loved or feared or obeyed or whatever it is. He possesses power so that he can use his authority for the good of others. And he denies himself things that he could easily obtain because it is better for the people under his care that he go without them. Okay. The need for self-control. He goes on, and he says, "Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more." He moves from the need for self-control for the need to alleviate suffering. While the king will not take strong drink, he's urged to give it to those who are perishing, to those in bitter distress, and to those in poverty. Now, it's also the job of the king to protect the rights of such people, and we'll see that in just a moment. But these verses suggest that the king take an interest in alleviating that suffering as well, even if only for a few minutes at a time. Give strong drink and wine to them and let them forget their poverty and remember their suffering no more. In context, it could mean providing wine and spirits almost as a painkiller to lessen the load of poverty and suffering, but it could also mean, and likely mean, something more like this: hosting a banquet where such people can make merry and forget their troubles for a time. Either way, it's clear that any good ruler cannot be indifferent to the suffering of his people. And while there are good and necessary political conversations to be had on the best way to alleviate suffering and promote prosperity, what is not an option is for a ruler not to care about great suffering or death or poverty among his people. A good ruler is compassionate in addition to his self-control. So we have the need for self-control, the need to alleviate suffering. Finally, the need to protect rights. The need to protect rights. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. There is a necessary role for the king, for the ruler, to speak for those who have no voice. Literally, open your mouth for the mute. Also for the rights of the destitute. Judge righteously and defend the rights of the poor and needy. Now, sometimes a poor or needy person may be on the wrong side of the law, okay? The poor or needy can murder or steal or any number of other things. The idea in specifically mentioning the poor and needy is not that those who are poor can never do any wrong and must never be prosecuted for their wrongdoing. This is not the point. The idea is, though, and as a maxim, this has been true throughout history and into the present day, the idea is that the poor, needy, and destitute do not have the same access to justice and to equitable application of the law as the wealthy, prosperous, and powerful do. Some people can afford to take their case to court for as long as necessary in order to win it. Others cannot miss a day of work for fear of going hungry. If there is no one to take up the cause of the poor and needy when they are exploited by those more powerful than themselves, then their life will be one of perpetual suffering and injustice. Lemuel sees it as the role of a competent ruler to use his power to give a voice to those who otherwise have none. And simply speaking personally, one of the things I find most frustrating about modern politics in our country, on our continent, is that very, very few people will take this need seriously with any sort of consistency. We'll apply it according to our own predetermined political lens, but we'll not see outside of that. Politicians of one political stripe will speak up loudly for the voiceless and powerless unborn, tens of thousands of whom are slaughtered in the womb each year in this country, and good on them for speaking up for it. But those same politicians, not all of them, but many, will speak with disdain about the poor and the needy, with no strong drink to offer and no advocacy other than perhaps to work harder. But then you go to politicians of other political stripes who may well make a strong case for the rights of the poor and needy, but will in the next breath advocate for greater access to and decrying any restrictions on the slaughter of the unborn in our nation. And again, speaking personally, I just find it disheartening that we will speak up for some and stay silent for others in need of an advocate simply based on the platform of whatever party we happen to support. And perhaps worst of all is that there are some who will make a great noise about speaking up for the voiceless and powerless, perhaps and hopefully especially the unborn, when it's time to get elected. But then once they have their power, they conveniently forget all of the great noises that they made when stumping for votes. It is deeply disheartening. But praise God that our time spent toiling under the reign of imperfect kings, of imperfect mayors, of imperfect premiers and imperfect prime ministers is limited. And let us always remember King Jesus, who gave up his right to heavenly worship and willingly entered a world of suffering to redeem a people for himself and rule them with perfect justice, righteousness, and equity, who will come again to establish such a rule as one that is worldwide and lasts forever. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would show us your mercy. And grant us leaders who will exhibit at least some self-control, a desire to alleviate suffering, and desire to act justly, to protect the rights, especially of those who cannot speak for themselves. Forgive us for our many sins in desiring that which is best for us at the expense of that which serves the interests of our neighbors. And for pursuing our own political ends to feed that selfishness. But more than any of that, Father, we ask that you will conform our desires for our neighbors now, conform them to the character of Jesus Christ, to the type of kingdom that he brings, and create in us a longing to see him come and establish his rule, that finally, truly and completely the government will be upon his shoulders. And we will bless his name and call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Bring that day quickly. May it be just as sweet and beautiful as it sounds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will close with one more song, and I'll invite you to stand.